For listeners' information, the following interview that will be conducted with Rachel Evans will have discussions of Aboriginal deaths in custody. Please listen with caution as it may cause distress. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners should also listen with caution as the interview will discuss cases of deaths in custody, and all care has been taken to ensure that it is depicted sensitively. All right. Good morning, listeners. You're listening to Green Left Radio, and we're just having a bit of a discussion around the COVID-19 pandemic on this whole question around elimination versus suppression, drawing on an article written by Sue Bull in Green Left titled COVID-19, Why We Need to Aim for Elimination. For the next part of our program, we have Rachel Evans on the line. Now, Rachel Evans is a long-term campaigner against black deaths in custody and has been part of the organising and the building of the Black Lives Matter rallies in Sydney. And just recently, there was an attempt to have a big Black Lives Matter protest in Sydney, which was unfortunately heavily repressed, I guess, by the New South Wales police. Rachel, can you give us tell us a bit of background on sort of what sort of happened there, and you know, the level kind of police repression of this protest?
Thanks, Jacob. Thanks, Green Left Radio. And hi, everyone. I'm speaking in the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. This land was never ceded, and it's the home of Pumawai, who was really the first incredible, significant resistor to colonisation and the first wave of the brutal English troops that came in to this beautiful area in Sydney as they entered into the harbour. So, and Pumawai was really known for uniting the tribes against the settler colonial forces. So we always remember his spirit when we are campaigning around First Nations rights. And so, yeah, we had a pretty amazing rally on Tuesday. And actually, Sydney has been incredible. The Sydney population has come out really solidly around Black Lives Matter and to stop deaths in custody. So really, the June 6th massive rally was about 50,000 here in Sydney, and there was 200,000 across the country. But Sydney was really significant because the New South Wales police state government took us to the Supreme Court to try and stop it, declare it illegal. And about 30,000 people showed up as the protest was illegal, and we put an appeal in halfway through the rally. It got declared that we won the appeal on June the 6th, and then another 20,000 people showed up as the rally became illegal. And also, the government was really intent on trying to stop people from getting to that rally. They shut down the main inner city train station, so people had to walk, get out in the outlying train stations and walk. So that rally was really significant, and that was on the back, of course, of George Floyd's murder and the rise of the Black Lives Movement in the US. And it had parallels, of course, because Latona Dungay, who is David Dungay's mother, was at the Supreme Court on June the 5th and June the 6th telling people to come out and protest because, like George Floyd, her son, David, was murdered in Long Bay Jail, which is the nearest jail to Sydney CBD near the Aboriginal-dominated area of La Perouse. And he was murdered at the end of 2015, saying, "I can't breathe," as five guards pinned him down and suffocated him. So it was very powerful to have Latona say, come out, regardless of what the government says. But it also really showed to the populace who are watching acutely that the Supreme Court and the courts are not in our favour, are not in First Nations favour, and aren't with the people. So then there was the Tane Chatfield inquiry that happened in the last 2 weeks. And Tane was an Aboriginal man from up north, Gumurai, Gumbungi and Wagga Wagga man, and a father of one. And he was found hanging in his cell in Tamworth Prison on September 2017. And so his inquiry was at Lidcombe in the last 2 weeks. And so there's been a lot of discussion about the racist prison system. He was found hanging from his cell. There should have been no hanging points in his cell. He had seizures. The hospital attempted to tell the prison of the seizures, and the prison nurse did not acknowledge the email about the seizure, and so stuck Tane in a cell on his own, contravening a number of recommendations of correctional service policy and also the Deaths in Custody Commission of 1991. So that's all been happening, and then bang, we have another rally. The David Dungay family did attempt to give 100,000 signatures of their petition to New South Wales Parliament unhindered. The Supreme Court, New South Wales Police, state government tried to stop that rally, and we had about 4 days of the Supreme Court deliberations and hearings, appeals, and they ruled against us. We did it anyway, and under significant pressure, arguing that we were going to be COVID contagious carriers because of our rally, and so we went ahead anyway. Dedication and commitment and strength of the family leading us, and they fined five activists, and they did threaten us with 6 months jail and $11,000 fine, but the activists that they fined were fined $1,000 only. We're going to contest that, and we're going to keep fighting. And the interesting thing was, in the morning, that's what happened in the Domain, a massive park. They made an announcement that there was over 20 people in this massive 3 kilometre radius park, so we were contravening COVID. They fined 5 people. And then in the afternoon, the Dungay family went into Parliament for a press conference and handed over the 100,000 strong petition. So again, with media flocking, and we had media all throughout the day, and we've had media all throughout the week. So the government and the police are under significant fire and significant strain because of this powerful rising movement.
I had a question. It seems like a different left forces sort of really working together, and different community organisations working together on this campaign. There seems to be a bit of collaboration happening.
Yeah, thanks, Zane. That's a good question. There is real unity around the campaign supporting the families and also defending the space, the democratic space, which is so important for us to defend the streets and our ability to protest on the streets. In New South Wales, we've got to fill in this Form 1, and that doesn't really happen across the other states as much. I've heard the Northern Territory have introduced it, but you've got to hand it in 7 days before the event, and nominally the police argue it's so that they can shut the correct roads down. But really it's allows the New South Wales police to take protesters to court and deem it illegal for various ridiculous technical reasons. But so they've done it against Palestinian rallies. They've done it against the TJ Hickey rally for a number of years, where we rally every 14th of February. That's when he was murdered. So yeah, they use it against the protest movement. So yeah, it's the Maritime Union of Australia. Big shout out to them. The Dungay family, Jumbana unit, big shout out to them. Justice Action, big shout out to them. And then a whole bunch of civil liberties minded lawyers and civil libertarians are coming behind. And there's also a bunch of student groups, ASIN, a big shout out to them. The socialist organizations, of course, are supporting and helping lead the campaign, and which is really very much being led by the families. And a big shout out to Paul Francis and Latona Dungay, who have done incredible media work and been incredible in the face of such an assault by the Murdoch press and slander by the Murdoch press. And look, it is polarizing, and there is a whole bunch of comments on Facebook that you shouldn't spend too much time reading, condemning us, the protest organisers, and condemning the family, and also slandering David Dungay. But now really what's happening is people are learning about how racist the so-called justice system is, the racial profiling that happens, out of 50,000 prisoners across the country, a third have not been charged, a third are on remand. But that's, between 15,000 and 30,000 are on remand. And Tane Chatfield had not been charged. He was on remand for 2 whole years, and he was just getting into his court case when he was so brutalised by the system, he hung himself in his cell. So, or at least that's certainly the evidence that we have to date. The other thing about that inquiry was we had evidence that appeared on the Friday, which we're only finding out about now, which would... Yeah, I mean, the coronial inquests are another part of the problem. So, yeah, there's a lot of learning happening about the racist system that tries to suppress First Nations people as a result of this amazing campaign.
What can you tell us, Rachel? Because from my understanding, a number of the protesters and one of the organisers, Paddy Gibson, was charged by the police. And have been the subject of, basically being targeted essentially by the police for organising these protests. What is the charges that they're trying to charge protesters with in this instance? And what is the legal basis by which these protests have been considered unlawful? I mean, obviously there's this whole issue around public health, which I think the police are leaning strongly on, but what are some of the elements kind of at play here?
That's a good question. Look, also big shout out to Paddy Gibson, and people should pop on Facebook or send him a message of solidarity, because he's also been getting, like Paul Francis and Latona, been getting a whole bunch of flack, and played a really important role in the Supreme Court and been a real indefatigable campaigner for many years around First Nations rights. So big shout out. And look, they did threaten us with 6 months jail under the Public Health Act, but it's the COVID Emergency Act that they're using, and it's, you know, $1,000 fines for allegedly contravening the act. And look, in New South Wales, in Sydney, we've been holding refugee rallies and we've been holding Stop CSG rallies. Extinction Rebellion have been holding small actions. The Rent campaign have been holding small actions. But it's the Black Lives Matter campaign that's mobilised the most amount of people. And it's just, you know, people can see it once you start, you know, scratching the surface of the government's arguments. They don't hold up. I mean, if they really cared about COVID transmission, then they would attempt an elimination strategy, which is they would lock everything down, including construction sites and shopping centres and beaches and markets. They would lock everything down because it's the Black Lives Matter rallies that are out in the open. It's been proven that there's been no contagious, through these rallies by a number of public health authorities. And yet the government still puts this argument that we're going to be carriers and we're going to spread it and so on. But if they were really serious, they'd shut down the schools. And you look at, we've got a school outside the resistance office, and look, you know, I'm not pointing them out for any particular reason, but there's no masks. Students aren't wearing masks. Teachers haven't been recommended to wear masks. And yet you look at the Black Lives Matter rallies and there's masks everywhere, hand sanitising, so on and so forth. So, look, the thing is that the legal system and the courts, like the prison system and like the police force, are organised against First Nations people and working class people, and they operate for the rich, not us. And you can see that they just pull out any law that they want and try to intimidate people away from the streets. And the thing about this movement is that it is challenging. It is challenging the system, because if we give and if we win and when we win land rights for First Nations people, that goes against the control of agribusiness and mining companies. And iron ore holds up this country's capitalist elite, and they want to export as much coal, iron ore and gas to the world as they can get away with. So, you know, First Nations rights are critical for an ecological, sustainable Australia, formerly known as Hopefully Australia. And so this movement is very, very challenging, and they want to intimidate everyone away from it.
Okay. Rachel, do you have, I guess, any sort of final comments, I guess, you'd like to make?
Yeah, I think that we should all be watching out for the next inquiries and asking the families of those inquiries how we can help and how we can assist. War, I know, in Melbourne and War in Brisbane have been putting out great statements saying support the Sydney Black Lives Matter rally, and there is obviously the socialist left and the progressive movement as a whole is looking at Sydney's actions and the inquiries. But, yeah, if there's attempts, if there's ability for organisations in the non-COVID states to organise solidarity actions, that would be great. There's two inquiries coming up. Nathan Reynolds in New South Wales, who died from medical neglect in prison after having an asthma attack. They didn't bother turning up to his cell. Another absolute disgusting act by the prison system. And then Wayne Feller Morrison in South Australia. So that coronial inquest of Wayne Feller Morrison is being rescheduled, and we'll find out when the date was. It was supposed to be next week. But there's, there was 48 guards involved in that murder of that young man, also a father of one. And so the family are organising around the new date, so just watch that space. And really, I think we can win a cop in jail. The campaign's demanding jail killer cops and jail killer screws. We can win that, and there's another court case coming up we should watch out for, which is a court case in the Northern Territory, the murder of Walker in Yamundamu, Kamunji Walker. And that cop was and has been charged with murder, and we're looking at that court case, which is upcoming. It's been rescheduled, I think, twice now. But if and when we get that, that's a measure of the campaign success. And with enough support and people mobilising around it, we will win that.
Hi. Thank you very much, Rachel. We'll just for listeners' information, we're just interviewing Rachel Evans, an activist involved in New South Wales, about the whole ongoing movement against black deaths in custody and Black Lives Matter. And I'll just play, I guess, a quick announcement, and then we might move on, I guess, to the next part of the program.